This is Pastor Mike Ecclestone speaking, and I would like to welcome you to Heritage Baptist Church's online audio library. These messages are provided not as a substitute for the assembling of God's people, nor as a substitute for the regular reading of God's Word, but rather as a spiritual supplement for a deeper understanding of His Word. May He add His blessing as you listen.
What a happy time, some glad tomorrow, when we lay these heavy burdens down.
In the lonesome valley,
no more to roam. Having labored on through joy and sorrow, hoping to receive that golden crown.
It'll all be glory,
it will all be joy in that sweet home.
That happy home in the beautiful city,
beautiful city.
Happy forever,
come
every
day. Nevermore the soul will be repining when we reach that happy resting place.
In the lonesome valley,
no more to roam. Yonder where the sun is always shining, we shall look upon its smiling face.
It will all be glory.
It will all be joy in that sweet home.
That happy home in the beautiful city.
Beautiful city.
Have a
sweet
forever.
Come
after day. We'll look upon the beauty that they shall never, and that will be
for the ages
of
many precious loved ones will be waiting just across the river deep and wide.
In the lonesome valley,
no more to roam. Through eternity, no separating. Every heart will then be satisfied.
It will all be glory.
It will all be joy in that sweet home.
That happy home in the beautiful city.
Beautiful city.
Have a seat forever.
A new
year of life. Go that we might.
Go ahead and turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 1 and get in another hand Genesis chapter 6. Just want to thank Pastor and everybody again for allowing us to come before everybody and give out His Word. It's a great honor, a privilege, and a blessing. praise the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 1 in one hand. And Genesis chapter 6. You guys are already there. I'm not. All right. Let's go ahead and read. We'll read one verse, and then we'll have a word of prayer, and then dive in. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. I'm looking for a certain word here. I'm going to be comparing, contrasting two words. And so we'll get our words from here, and then we'll go through the Bible. Chapter 1, if you have your Bibles, hope you do. Verse 23. Being born again, that's talking about those that are saved. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Let's pray. Our dear Holy Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, being so merciful to us, Lord. Man, you're mindful of man, and you come down to earth as a man and die for us. We're not worthy of anything from you. I pray that you'd get all the glory from today, that your word would be preached, and that I wouldn't get in the way, no one else would get in the way, that hearts would be softened to the truth of your word, and that they would clearly understand and get some truth from you, and that anything that's not pleasing your sight, that you would not have, Lord, I pray that it would be forgotten, but that what would be remembered is that which is right. So we thank you for your word. We thank you that we have the Bible perfect and pure without spot or error, this incorruptible word. We thank you for it. Pray that you just work in our hearts through it. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So my words this morning that we're going to be contrasting in the Bible, in other words, corruptible and incorruptible, or another variation would be corrupted or incorrupted. If something is corrupted, it could also have been corruptible at some point, but it's already corrupted. But if something's incorrupt, it has no corruption in it. And if it's incorruptible, it means it cannot be corrupted. So we're going to look at those two words, and we're going to get a definition here in a little bit. But I just want to look at just this word corrupted in the Bible and what it says. So let me just read a definition I got from Webster's 1828 of the word corrupted. putrefied. Now, I didn't know really what that meant, so I looked that up. Dissolved, rotten, rendered impure, rendered defective and void, depraved, made bad or worse, tainted, spoiled, marred, bribed, infected with errors. So that's the corrupted. Now, incorrupt would just be the negative of that. That which is not corrupt would not be dissolved, not be rendered impure, not be tainted, not be defective, not be infected with errors. So it's just the opposite. And if it's incorruptible, it cannot be corrupted. It cannot be infected with errors. You cannot dissolve it. It can't be rotten. It can't fade away. So I got a little prop here. Hopefully, Pastor doesn't get mad since it's food. I'm not eating it, so I don't know if that matters. So this was one of the donuts that Brother Micah so graciously brought into our Sunday school hour. And I'll just hold it up right there. It's a cinnamon donut. I wasn't really hungry because I was nervous and I can't usually eat a lot, but I took a bite. So this is a donut. Now, if I just left this donut here, let's say for a few days, it may just start getting a little dried out and hard. And in a few weeks, you know, maybe flies will be flying on it, and I don't know, maybe some bugs and other things trying to eat it. And then after a while, years and years, this thing is going to start just decaying and falling apart. And eventually, if it was on the ground, it would just fall into the ground and go into the ground as nourishment for other things that would grow up after that. So corruption is all around us. This is just one example. It's kind of silly, but we have corruption everywhere we go, everywhere we look. And this world is full of corruption. Our bodies are corrupted. Trees are dying. Everything. We see corruption all around us. We're very familiar with corruption. Now, something that we're not so familiar with would be something that's incorrupted, incorruptible. We'd say, okay, you know, precious metals. And one of the definition of incorrupt in Webster's 1828 said, underneath it, it said gold. Compared gold to something that's incorrupt, because that's what we understand, you know, gold or diamonds, things that, you know, they last a really, 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 really long time. But the Bible, what does the Bible say about gold? It's corruptible. It'll perish, right? Don't lay treasures on earth where moss and rust doth corrupt. If you build up gold on earth, it's going to be corrupted. So everything around us, however long it will last or how short it will last, it's corruptible, or it already is corrupted. So we're familiar with corruption, but I want to look at things that the Bible says are incorrupted or incorruptible, and then contrast that with things that we're familiar with to get an understanding of things that maybe we may not be so familiar with, because we can't see something that's incorrupted. Our eyes have never beheld it. We're surrounded by it. We're living in it. And so, if you're in Genesis chapter, hold your place in 1 Peter, because we're going to come back to there in a second. That's going to be our first point. And if you're in Genesis chapter 6, you should be. If not, go ahead and make it there. Genesis chapter 6. So man had sinned in the garden, Genesis chapter 3. But right here in Genesis chapter 6, verse 1, you see, right as man begins to multiply, and it came to pass, verse 1, Genesis chapter 6, verse 1. It came to pass when man began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them. Now, I'm just going to skip down. We're not going to read the part after that. Skip down to verse 11. So man begins to multiply, and look what God says about the earth. He comes down and looks on it. The earth also, verse 11, Genesis chapter 6, was corrupt before God. And the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. So right from the get-go, right on the beginning, in the very first book in the Bible, just a couple chapters in, right after sin happens, you start seeing corruption come into the world. It's in the earth. God sees the earth. He looks at the earth is corrupted because man has corrupted his way. And that's all because that's all derived from the sin that came into the world. And so right from the bat, right off the beginning, in the beginning of the Bible, that's the start of mankind, we are just born into corruption and we're just surrounded by it. So that kind of goes against what you would think if you believed evolution. You say, well, that doesn't make sense. Well, things don't get better. Things don't, all of a sudden, my donut's not going to grow the rest of it back and then I'm going to be able to eat it again. It's going to just decay. It's going to be destroyed. This building, if you just left it alone, it's going to fall down into the earth. It's going to be corrupted. So if you study corruption and you look at corruption in the world, it just goes right against what professing, you know, falsely so-called science teaches in science textbooks that change every year. You have things being formed out of things that are already corrupted. They get better and better. You get more and more impressive, more and more complex. You only had one hand. Now you have two. You have 2 feet. You have three now. I don't know. So they just somehow they can say, even though we observe corruption, in reality, the science is that it gets better. It gets improved. It gets nicer. But that, we know that's not the case. We can see that all around us. I just wanted to say that just to knock evolution down for a little bit. So in Genesis chapter 6, we just read that man corrupted his way and he corrupted the earth. So right off the bat, there's corruption in the world. Man chose to sin. God didn't bring corruption in the world. Man did. And man, by his free will, by his choice, chose to corrupt his way in the earth. And so now, because of man's choice, not because of God's choice, God created in Genesis 1, everything's very good. Everything's good, good, good. If you read all through Genesis 1, he made that, he saw it was very good. All of his creation, he saw it was good. In the very end of Revelation, you see at the very end of Revelation, God takes away sin out of the world and he creates a new heaven, a new earth that's not corrupted. No more sin in it. So at the beginning, at the end of the Bible, you have something that's not corrupted that was created by God, made by God. But all through the Bible, you read it, every little bit of it, it's just full of corruption. And people say, well, you know, I understand this, and I'm not, you just got to hear me out. I go by the Bible. Well, we don't go by verses in the Bible that say, talk about a history of a man who did something wicked or wrong. We're learning from the history. So I don't go by Judas hanging himself. I go by, okay, I'm not going to hang myself. So the Bible is there for you to teach you and to learn, and it has history in it. And you're not supposed to do what the people in the history did. You're supposed to learn from their mistakes. But this Bible is just full of corruption from the start to finish. But at the very beginning, what God made was uncorrupt, was incorrupt. What God made at the end was incorrupt. But man, when he gets involved, when he starts making things, when he starts doing something, it starts getting corrupted. So let's go back to our passage in 1 Peter. Go back to our passage in 1 Peter, and I'm going to look at several things in the Bible that the Bible says are incorrupt. Now, you can get a bunch of things out of the Bible that says are incorrupt, but I'm just going to look at a few things. This is not an exhaustive study. We're just going to kind of skim the surface and get a few practical truths from these verses. So, again, 1 Peter 23, let's read it one more time. 1 Peter 1, chapter 1, verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. By the word of God, which lives in the body forever. Now, there's a few things in here you can say are incorruptible just by that word, but I want to look at the corruptible seed versus an incorruptible seed. So what is the corruptible seed? Turn to 1 Corinthians. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And we just said earlier that Adam was the first man. We know that. And then from Adam, we have all of our races. So, you know, I don't know what's up with all this trying to find your bloodline. I'm not saying it's wrong or anything, but I'm just saying I can trace you all the way back, whether you like it or not. I can trace you back to Adam. He's the first man that ever came, and we all come from him. We all come out of Adam. And so that's important, because if we come from Adam, that means we came from his seed. So let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse, 21. Verse 21, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 21. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam, that's the man, all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So apparently, according to this verse, that in Adam, which is you and me, our body, this flesh, it's in Adam. It's from his seed. It's from his loins. Ultimately, you can trace back to your great-great-great-great-grandfathers. It goes back to Adam. And in him, we all die. That's why the Bible says that it's appointed a man once to die, and after this, the judgment. We're going to die. We can't escape that. But look at the contrast. In Christ, all are made alive. So let's... If you go to, and we were just there, but we're not going to go back there again just for sake of time. Genesis 5, and you look at Adam, and he gave birth. He gave birth to sons, and then his sons gave birth to sons, and they gave birth to sons. But every time it gets done talking about the person who just gave birth to children, it says that he died. He died, and he died. So Adam died. Seth, and he died. All these people that came from Adam, because of Adam's sin, we all die. We all die. So turn over to Romans 5, just another verse to kind of go along with that. But this is showing us that this seed, this line, this family tree that we're tracing back to in this body of flesh, is corrupted. Romans 5. Romans chapter 5. Let's see. In chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, by one man sin entered into the world. That's Adam. And death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Look down at verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. So by one, because one man sinned, one man disobeyed God, one man did wrong, we all have this this corrupted nature, corrupted seed in us. And I understand it's all bad news, but there is some good news to this, right? Because there's an opposite, there's a contrast, and that would be the incorruptible. And we see the contrast between Adam and Jesus Christ. So there's these two seeds, there's these two lines, there's these two races. Now, Jesus Christ is not a fleshly, physical race necessarily like Adam, although he has a body. But you see, the line of Adam, it's there's sin, there's death. But in Jesus Christ, there's life. If you look over... And we're not going to turn there again. It's just like if you look in the genealogies of Adam, if you look in the genealogy of Christ leading to him, everyone gave birth, gave birth, gave birth, gave birth, gave birth. But when they're talking about Christ and all these men that are in Christ, none of them die. It doesn't say, and he died, and he died. So it's a really interesting contrast if you look at in the beginning in Genesis and you look in the beginning in Matthew, the beginning of the Old Testament and the New Testament, there's no more death in Christ. He abolished death. So there's those two seeds, there's two lines. There's a corruptible one, that's Adam, that's their sin. There's the incorruptible. Jesus Christ, the Bible says in 1 John 3:5, in him is no sin. So anyone that comes from him, he's incorrupted. Anyone that comes from Jesus Christ is also incorrupt. A tree, Jesus said, a corrupt tree cannot bring forth corrupt fruit. A corrupt tree bringeth forth corrupt fruit. You can't have a tree that's corrupt bring forth something that's incorrupt. So if the tree's corrupt, that's bearing the fruit, the fruit's going to be corrupt also. The same way, Adam, he's the root. He's the, right, we say our family tree. If he's the beginning, and he's sinned, and he's corrupted, now anyone that comes from Adam is going to also be corrupted. And that's all of us, that's our nature. But if Jesus Christ, who is, if he comes up, and he creates a new tree, a new life, a new race, a new seed, and he's incorrupt, he's going to be bearing incorrupt fruit. And that would be anyone coming from Jesus Christ, anyone from his line, would also be incorrupt. So that's the incorrupt seed. And in that same verse, in the same passage in 1 Peter, there's a couple other things you see. You also see a birth, I would say an incorrupt birth, and we're going to come back to that. And also the incorrupt word of God, and we'll come back to that also. I just kind of want to hit just the seed first, and then we'll go forward. So the next one is the incorrupt versus the corrupt body. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And if we turn from anywhere from here on the body, let's just keep your hand here in 1 Corinthians 15 if we start to turn away and then what we're talking about this topic right here. Just keep your hand in 1 Corinthians 15 if we have to turn. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15 again. But look all the way down in verse number 53. Verse number 53. Let's read verse 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. We've heard that before, right? We're all mortals. We're going to die. We're corrupted in Adam. We'll all die. But this is talking about there's a mortal and there's an immortal. There's a corruptible, that's the mortal. There's an incorruptible, that's the immortal. Verse 54, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So according to this verse, there is a, and we just read that before, how in Adam all die, that's the seed, but there is a corruptible body, and there is an incorruptible body. And this kind of flows right from the seed, because if the seed that bore us is corruptible and he sinned, then we're sinners also, and we're going to die also. So our body, this body, this fleshly body, is corrupted. But there's also, according to that verse, there is a corruptible body, but there's also an incorruptible. So turn with me to 2 Corinthians 4. Let's look more at just one verse on the corruptible, and behold your place in that 1 Corinthians passage. So turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Right, Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. Romans 5:12, remember we read, in Adam all die. Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. So this is comparing the outward and the inward man. We're not doing that at this time, but you have the outward man that's perishing. The outward man is going to die. We read that all through about Adam. It's going to die because the seed is corrupt. So since the seed is corrupt, everything that comes from it is also corrupt. And so this outward man, this body of flesh, is going to die. And then the incorruptible, turn to back to 1 Corinthians 15 and also get 2 Corinthians 5 in your other hand. So we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 15 and 2 Corinthians 5. 1 Corinthians 15, and then two verses back from where we read before, 51, verse 51. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, that's talking about dying, but we shall all be changed. Okay, what does he mean by that? Let's read verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So according to that verse, and if you keep reading on, it's that verse we talked about where corruptible puts on incorruption, the dead, that's the bodies, are going to be raised into bodies that are incorruptible. So they can't see decay. Not only are they not decaying, there's no corruption in it, there's no dissolving or error, but it will never see error. There's destruction can't come to that body. These bodies, even if you were able to somehow keep them alive for longer and longer, they're corruptible. And so whether or not you're able to live forever by killing all the germs or whatever you need to do, this body is still able to die, whether we like it or not. But there's a body that you can get, according to this verse, that is incorruptible, that can't die. So back in 2 Corinthians, if you're still there, chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven, if so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we are in this tabernacle. We that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Not that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality, and remember that word, mortality might be swallowed up of life. Remember we saw that in 1 Corinthians 15, mortality. So this is talking about this tabernacle of this body, this physical body. This physical body that we have is going to be dissolved. As we said in verse 1, it says it's going to be dissolved. And we're groaning, not that it does dissolve, right? We don't want to just die. That's why we're eating, that's why we're living. Some people work out. I don't work out, unfortunately. I probably should, but you work out and you try to eat healthy, eat right, to live longer. But we should be groaning. We should be desiring to be clothed upon with a new body that where mortality is swallowed up. There's no mortality. There's no corruption that can see it. And then just to go along with that, I'm not going to read them, but Philippians 3:21, where God will change our vile bodies to be like under the body of Jesus Christ, which is without sin. 1 John 3:2, when we see Jesus Christ, we'll be like Him, for we'll see Him as He is. So that's we saw the incorruptible seed that's in Adam. In Adam all die, but in Jesus Christ, the incorruptible seed, everyone lives, everyone's alive. So we saw the body, the corruptible body that is going to be decayed and destroyed because of the incorruptible, because it came from the incorruptible seed. But the incorruptible is what cannot be destroyed. Let's look at another incorruptible in the Bible. It's 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1. See, we don't know what it's like to not see corruption. And we're seeing these from these verses. These bodies see corruption all the time. You get nicked or cut. I got a cut right here, and it gets red and infected, and you got to keep up with this body because it's corrupted. Any little bit, it wants just to be destroyed. But so we're looking at other things that are incorrupted in the Bible that the Bible clearly states. Now, there's some things you can infer in the Bible that, okay, because this thing is what it is, the very nature, then it must not be corruptible. It must be incorrupt. But we're looking at things that are clearly stated. It says the word incorrupt in there, and we're contrasting them with something that that is corrupted. So 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 4. Let's read verse 3, actually, to get a little bit of context, because there's a comma right there. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Which according to His abundant mercy, praise the Lord for His mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So He's talking to us that are saved in Jesus Christ. To an inheritance, verse 4, incorruptible, there's our word, and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. So right here it's talking about an inheritance that apparently is incorruptible. We've never seen that before. We've never seen something come in this earth that does not fade away. Everything in this earth fades away, right? Everything in this earth you leave behind, it's going to be destroyed. But this inheritance right here in 1 Peter verse 4 is incorruptible. So let's look at a corruptible inheritance. Turn to Proverbs 20. Proverbs 20. Corruptible inheritance. Proverbs chapter 20. And Proverbs chapter 20, in verse, if you look down here, verse 21. Proverbs 20, 21. An inheritance, there's the inheritance right there, may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. This is an inheritance that you can receive right away. Right? This is talking about a physical inheritance. You can get it immediately, but at the end you're not going to have anything. It's just going to be wasted away. And comes right to mind is the we call him the prodigal son, but really he's a repentant son. Also, he came back to the father, but he got all of his inheritance. He got everything that was his from his father early on, and then he wasted it all away in riotous living, and so there went his inheritance. But he came back to the father, and the father still received him. But still, he wasted all that inheritance away because the inheritance was corruptible. It could be dissolved. It could fade away. It could be no more like this donut in a few years. So that's the corruptible inheritance. And just in another similar passage, well, the prodigal son, if you want the reference, was Luke 15, 11 through 14, was the verses. And then another verse that talks about inheritance that could be corrupted, it says it could be marred, was the kinsman redeemer in Ruth, where Boaz went to go to try to get Ruth. So there was one next in line before him. So but he mentions that the guy mentions that his inheritance, lest he mar his inheritance. So there was a way he could corrupt it. He could destroy it. Cause it to go away. So that's showing you right there. That's Ruth 4 verse 6. That there's these inheritances, and they're all on earth. All these inheritances that you may have or you may not have because it was corrupted early on. They can be corrupted, and they're corruptible, but there is an inheritance that the Bible says back in 1 Peter that is incorruptible. So let's turn to a verse over here in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9. I'm going to read a verse in Psalms, if I can get there for you. Psalms 37. Hebrews chapter 9, and I'm going to read, this is Psalms 37, verse 18. Listen to this. Let's go up. Yeah. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. That's an inheritance that lasts forever, that is incorruptible. Because if it was corruptible, it wouldn't be forever. It wouldn't be able to last forever. It would fade away. It would be wasted away. It would be able to be dissolved and corrupted. But this is an inheritance that the Bible talks about in Psalms that the upright have that is incorruptible. And so if you're in Hebrews chapter 9, let's look at verse 15. Again, we're contrasting corruptible things versus incorruptible, and we're on inheritance. It's verse 15. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, that's Jesus Christ, if you read the verse before it, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. That's inheritance that lasts forever, that never goes away. It cannot be corrupted. It's incorruptible inheritance, and that's talking about Jesus Christ redeeming people, and they become inheritors of an inheritance that is incorrupted and also incorruptible. It is not destroyed. It is not decayed. It is not full of error. But it can never see that. It can never be dissolved. So again, we're looking at these two things, corrupted and incorrupted. We're putting them on two opposite sides because that's what they are. And they're all through the Bible. You'll see these things that are corrupted and corrupted. But you have these things that we've been reading. We looked at three already: the seed, the body, and the inheritance. And they're all incorruptible. And there's another one. Let's look at this. I'm gonna skip treasures, but let's look at crown, an incorruptible crown. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. So if you're seeking an inheritance on this earth and wanting to last, it can be corrupted, it can be dissolved, it can go away. But seek one that is incorruptible. So we're on crown, 1 Corinthians 9:25. First Corinthians 9:25. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it, this is the world, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. So some people work and strive and seek to earn a crown, some sort of accolade or glory, something that they can put on them or show off to people. But that crown that they're wearing, the glory that they have or whatever they're wearing on them to show off, is corruptible and it will fade away. But here it talks about a crown that is incorruptible. I'm just going to read this verse. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5, and I'm going to read a verse in Proverbs while you go there, just for sake of time. So an incorruptible crown, something that you can wear, or show, or have to strive for, and that's incorruptible, that won't fade away. I'm trying to get to Proverbs, sorry. All right. So Proverbs 27:24, it says, "For riches are not forever." And we know about that from the incorruptible inheritance and the corruptible inheritance. It's riches. They don't last forever on earth. And then continue on in verse 24, "And doth the crown endure to every generation?" So this is talking about a crown that apparently, this is, I think it's talking about kings, but it doesn't last forever. It doesn't always continue. it's corrupted. It's corruptible. It can be corrupted. It may not be have been corrupted at the beginning, but it can be corrupted. But there's a crown in heaven if you're in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. And when the chief shepherd, that's Jesus Christ, capital S, shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And there's many crowns in the Bible that, I think there's like four or five that you can see that we can strive for. But this one, I just went to this verse because it says that fadeth not away, right? Something that's corruptible can fade away. The crowns that people strive for on earth, they can fade away. They can go away. They can dissolve. But this crown doesn't fade away. And the Bible says in Revelation 4, verse 4 and verse 10, that those crowns, we're going to cast them at the feet of Jesus Christ. And He's going to get all the glory for those crowns. So we're seeking a crown, not for our glory. See, the world seeks crowns and seeks accolades and seeks things on earth so that way they can get the glory. Because of pride. It's pride of life. We it's instilled in our nature. But we as Christians should be seeking a crown that we can cast at the feet of Jesus Christ. And then when He comes back again, He's wearing many crowns. All the crowns that we all got, we get to give them to Jesus Christ, and He gets the glory for it all. So praise the Lord for that. And then, we looked at the corruptible seed, incorruptible seed, the incorruptible body, incorruptible inheritance, incorruptible crown. Over in Matthew 6, it talks about lay up treasures in heaven. Don't lay up treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and thieves break in and steal. But lay up treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor the rust doth corrupt. So it's talking about if you build up treasures on earth, those treasures can be corrupted. And I every day I find a new hole in a shirt that I like because the moths are eating them. But if you weigh up treasures in heaven, and you seek an inheritance and you try to work for laying up treasures in heaven, that those treasures cannot be corrupted. And that's what we should be seeking and striving to do. One more thing. So now we're going to look at incorrupt, back to the very first verse we went to, 1 Peter chapter 1. Some other incorrupt things that the Bible talks about. So how can I get the incorruptible seed? We're all born in Adam. We all are part of that corruptible seed. We all have the corruptible body. We all understand that our inheritances can be corrupted, or they already have been corrupted, or the crowns or the glory and the treasures, all that's fading away. How do we get a part of that incorruptible seed? How do we get into the incorrupted side of things? So 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. So this says, in the very first words, being born again. So you can't ever see any of these things that are incorrupted. You can never see or be a part of anything that's incorrupted until you be born again. Jesus said in John 3 to Nicodemus, you must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. You can't change it. The corrupted doesn't become incorrupted. The corrupt inheritances on earth don't. God doesn't take your inheritance on earth when you get saved and all of a sudden brings it to heaven and now it's incorrupted. You don't get your crown. You can't make it an incorruptible crown. You need to get born again to be a part of the incorruptible seed that's Jesus Christ. Jesus, the Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 13, that as many as received Him, to them gave you the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. You have the power to become a son of God. That's the seed. That's the righteous seed. That's the seed that cannot be corrupted. That's the incorruptible seed. You can be born again of that seed and receive an incorruptible crown, incorruptible inheritance, incorruptible bodies, incorruptible treasures on earth. All these things that we looked at can all be. You can receive the incorruptible if you just get born again. That's the difference. That's the key. And I think I read all those, quote all those verses, but Ephesians 2:13. Let's turn to Ephesians 2:13. But hold your place here, 1 Peter. Let's read this one more time. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. By the word of God. That just said that the word of God, right, which liveth and abideth forever. The word of God itself is incorruptible. The word of God, we are born again by the word of God. You heard the word of God and you believed it by faith. And so we were born again by this word, and it's incorruptible. There's a lot of false versions out there that Satan's trying to cause confusion. God's not the author of confusion. And when you have a verse in your Bible that I don't have, or if I have a verse in my Bible you don't have, or the two verses in our Bibles clash with each other, because that's all through when you have hundreds of English versions, that's confusion. And God didn't author that. God didn't want that. His word is incorruptible. He brought it to man and he preserved it. Psalms 12, 6 and 7. He preserved his word. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. That's incorrupt. And it cannot be corrupted. You can try to peddle the word of God. You can try to sell it off, and that's what they do. They change words here and there so that way they can put a copyright and get money for the word of God. And that's corruption. That's man trying to corrupt the word of God. And look what it leads to. Corrupt. If the seed is corrupt, the thing that bears the fruit is corrupt, then the fruit thereof is going to be corrupt. So we're coming to church and we're reading a pure, perfect and pure word of God, an incorruptible seed. And we're getting food from this word. We're getting meat and hopefully milk and meat, and hopefully you're reading your Bible. But if you're going to another church where they have a corrupted word, because man got his hands on it and man changed it, then you're going to have corrupt fruit. And that's why you see that the churches are just dying out, and they're not going anywhere. They're not doing anything for Jesus Christ, because that's not what matters. And Satan got in that thing, and corruption got into those churches through the seed that was feeding them. The very thing that was giving them life was actually corrupt. And so we have an incorruptible seed. We're born again of a corruptible seed by the Word of God. Psalms 49, 6 through 8 says that no man can redeem his brother. We're not there yet, so we'll wait on that. But so that just said that the Word of God is incorruptible, right? The Word of God is incorruptible. Let's do one more, and then we'll be done for the morning. 1 Peter chapter 1. We're still there. Yeah, man. All this is in 1 Peter. Praise the Lord. Verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. So there's the incorruptible birth. Jesus Christ talks about you must be born again. But look at this. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. See, that's corruptible. But it didn't redeem you. From your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ. As a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now, no one can be redeemed by their money or by their good works or by their fame. You can't receive incorruptible inheritance, incorruptible birth, incorruptible seed, or you can't receive anything incorruptible. You always have corruptible treasures, corruptible. Everything on earth is corrupted. But the way that you can be part of the incorrupted is if the incorruptible blood of Jesus Christ. It's just said that you weren't redeemed with corruptible, but with the blood of Christ. Colossians 1:14 changes again. It says it talks about the blood of Christ redeeming us, but the blood is taken out in the corrupted version. So again, you see, you can't get away from it. There's corruption all throughout the world, but there is always, where there is corruption, there is an incorruptible word, there's an incorruptible inheritance, there's an incorruptible seed, there's the incorruptible blood of Jesus Christ. In Acts 20:28 talks about that God's blood was shed for the church. Romans 1:23, turn there real quick. This is interesting. 1:23, chapter 1, Romans chapter 1. Turn there real quick, and then Romans chapter 1. So we saw the blood of Jesus Christ is incorruptible. Psalms 49, verse 6 says, talks about that you can't redeem your brother with money. You have riches and fame and fortune. You can't give to a church to save them and get them out of hell. Once they die, they die. There's nothing you can do for them. But look at this verse in 1:23. It says, and change the glory, talking about people that are unrighteous, change the glory of the uncorruptible God, look at that, into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. God is uncorruptible. There's no corruption in him. He cannot be corrupted. His very nature never has been, never will be corrupted. It is uncorruptible. And God, the Bible says, he purchased us with his own blood, Acts 20:28. So if God's blood is what purchased us, but then we read over in 1 Peter that the blood of Jesus Christ is, that means that Jesus Christ is God, and that the uncorruptible God gave his incorruptible blood to save corruptible sinners so that we could become part of the incorruptible. There is no other way that corruptible could be incorruptible. We cannot inherit. Corruption does not inherit incorruption. The only way that anybody is going to receive the incorruptible seed and be a part of that incorruptible inheritance and get an incorruptible crown and be with Jesus Christ forever in heaven and escape the wrath of God and hell is by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And through His blood alone, only through His incorruptible blood and being washed in His blood. 1 John 1:7, Revelation 1:5, talking about the blood cleansing us, washing us in His blood. Why would anyone choose corrupt things over incorrupt? Hope you consider, if you're not saved, that you look at these verses and really consider the corruption that is in the world and that's on every man, and how Jesus Christ, the incorruptible, came so you could be incorruptible as well. Amen, Pastor.
I appreciate the word. I'm not going to eat this corruptible donut. Matter of fact, I'm not going to eat anything corruptible, uncorruptible. The simplicity of truth never wavers, never does. The complexity of false religion always wavers, always. It always makes it difficult. If you do step one, then you got to do step two, three, and the steps never end. In Christ, we learned, I'll repeat this, we learned that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We learned that if you receive Christ, you become a son of God. We learned that it's not of works, that it's all faith being counted for righteousness. We learned that it's only in one person and that it is forever. How simple can it be? And yet you can go next door. You can go over there. There's 6 steps over there. I don't even know that they have steps next door. They just work and work and work and work and hope in a human sense that they will someday have eternal life. And it doesn't work. The truth of the Word of God believed is what saves. And if you will call on the name of the Lord, He will save you. And if He will save you and you really called on Him, then He will never cast you out. So in that simplicity, why would you want something that does not have all of the Word of God? Or has so changed it that it doesn't mean what God said it meant. You don't. So you stick with the truth. You hold to the truth. You study the truth. You give out the truth. And the corruptible earth continues to corrupt itself. And man is doing what he did in Genesis 6. He's corrupting not only himself worse and worse, but he's corrupted the whole earth all over again. As it was in the days of Noah. So shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. We live in that time. And if you're not careful and you don't take a position, you'll start to drift. And the only way you can drift is away from the Word of God. And then the next thing you know, you'll be part of the groups that are mocking everything that we hold as true and righteous. And you have a choice, just like they did back in the Old Testament. You sit here this morning without Christ, you have a choice. You can go back out the door without Him. That's your choice, but you don't have a choice as to the consequences. You die lost, it's a lake of fire. You die saved, an incorruptible inheritance. So the choice is yours. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the messenger, and we thank You for the knowledge that we have that Your word will not return void. Somebody today, either watching, or sitting here, or sometime listening at another time, may hear all these words that's lost and may even come to Christ at first listen. Someone else, maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but maybe next month or next year. But to sit here and know that we don't have tomorrow, we don't have next month, we don't have next year, is really living dangerously. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of making things right for we who are in Christ. Not tomorrow, not next month, not next year. So, Father, as you speak to our hearts here today, we just ask that you impress upon us the urgency of the hour to either come to Christ, or if we are saved, to make things right. To impress upon us the means whereby that you have given to us to live spiritually wholesome lives, dedicated to you and to what you've left us here to do. So, Father, we ask that you have your way in the invitation, and we ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Pastor Eccleston again. I trust that the preceding message was a spiritual blessing to you. If God has spoken to your heart, I encourage you to respond in whatever area He is leading. You know, there's no more important issue than your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you sense your need to trust Him as your personal Savior, He will save you if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in His finished work to pay for the full debt of your sin. Please call us, or write us, or email us in this most important matter, or any other spiritual matter. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Are you seeking the Lord? I truly hope so.